Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out once again for a beautiful day, beautiful show. Excited to be able to share with you some amazing thoughts, some lessons that have actually meant the world to me and really go beneath the surface. As a reminder, check our website, moneyripples.com. Also, our event, there's only going to be a few people I'm going to let in outside of my own clients here. If you want to be face-to-face, if you want to really learn from me and actually see, I mean, there's only so much I can teach you by audio, by word, you know, but there's so much I can show you that can help you, especially if you want to get out of the rat race, they'll get your money work for you so you don't have to work so hard for money so that you can actually really create that life of that you love, right? To be with those that you love, to be able to do the things that you want. That is the kind of thing that we teach. And so at Wealth Empowerment Intensive is October 13th, 14th. You can find it by going to the website, wei1017.eventbrite.com. Eventbrite spelled eventbrite.com. So if you want to be here face-to-face, love to have you. Not much time to register. There's only a few spots open for that. It's a very intimate setting that we do. In fact, it's going to be in my home. So it's going to be kind of cool here in here just south of Salt Lake City, Utah. Hey, just a quick shout out to our sponsors, American Homeowners Preservation. If you want to be able to invest as little as $100 to create monthly cash flow while still making a great difference in people's lives and also making a great difference in your bank account, hey, check out American Homeowners Preservation. A great way to be able to, where they can actually help keep people in their homes or help them refinance or even get out of their homes. Check out their website, fundingahp.com. That's fundingalphahotelpapa.com. So today I want to talk to you about what I've learned now that I just turned 40 last week. You know, I just had my birthday last week and I wanted to share some thoughts. You know, I've talked to a lot of people lately from different walks of life. Many of you, in fact, you know, and I've had my own clients, you know, I've talked to people that have, you know, have come to me that if, whether they're making, you know, $50,000, $70,000 a year or $500,000 or $700,000 plus dollars a year, I'll tell you, things are kind of the same. It's interesting to me that people come to me, they'll say, Chris, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed about my situation. I should be better off than I am. Well, guess what? Join the club. Everybody says that. It's funny. There's a group of people I'm working with right now where I'm doing some special type of service for them, you know, dealing with like kind of the whole banking strategy, kind of the, you know, supercharged savings account type strategy that I'm helping them with. And a lot of these people, they'll say, yeah, Chris, I know you're not like the typical person I meet with. I only make $150,000 a year. The funny thing is they all say about the same thing. Now, there's a few extremes where people are making $500,000 to $1 million a year, but they're the minority. Most of them are making between like $100,000 to, you know, $200,000 or so a year in that group, you know, but they all feel like they're the lower echelon, you know? And so I'll tell you that money and these strategies I teach you, these strategies are great. And I wanted to make sure that I teach you good strategies. So you're not just getting fluff, you get real meat, real content. But I got to tell you that there's way more beneath the surface. This is like that iceberg example, right? You know, 10% above the surface, 90% below the surface. This is what I want to talk about today because this is where success happens. Because I'll tell you, most success is beneath the surface based on our thoughts more than just taking mere action. If you just take action on strategies, you'll probably fail. And I've seen this. I've even seen this with my own clients. There's a big difference based on their perspective. There can be a huge difference in results. And it doesn't matter how much money they make. I've seen people that are broke people, you know, that are just out there making hundreds of thousands a year, but they're absolutely broke mentally. And the thing is, that is the thing that has the biggest danger for being a money leak in their life, more than taxes, more than the fact that they won't earn more income, more than anything, because that is the thing that could actually create loss, not just the lack of creating income or the lack of, you know, money leaks in sense of expenses, but loss. And if there's anything I've learned, especially in the last 15, almost 16 years of business, is I've learned that your mindset has everything to do with it. Now understand, when I started in business, I started with a very scarcity point of view. You know, I started out, especially as a financial advisor, I was trained by people in scarcity. And not to mention, I came from a place of scarcity. And so that's the thing that I'm telling you, that it was an interesting world to be in, because you can do business from a place of scarcity, but I'm telling you, you cannot be in a place of success, like true success, if you don't do these few things. So I want to talk about the first thing is, one is mindset, two is emotional intelligence, and then three is this emotional, spiritual, and physical care, that kind of thing. All right, so let's start with mindset. You know, I know some of you might be tired of hearing about this, and some of you probably need to hear, even those of you that say that, probably need to hear a lot more. Even if you think you've heard about this, you've been trained on it, I'm telling you, mindset is the starting point. So I talked about that scarcity, right? You know, that scarcity I had as a financial advisor. I'll tell you that that fear, those doubts, even that that feeling of that there's just not enough, or that you got to keep hustling, right? How many of you guys, even if you've been taught about mindset, still feel like you got to keep hustling, got to keep working hard, all that kind of crap? That stuff doesn't work. I'm telling you, you can hustle only so far before you burn out, and then you become a casualty. You become not necessarily a physical casualty, although that's possible too, but you become a casualty in business. You become a casualty of success. You become someone who actually creates the image that working in business is hard work, it's risky, and that it's not rewarding. Or for those of you that do investing, that you're doing the things that are kind of outside the box, and that really just doesn't work. The mindset is everything. Even if you make good money, your mindset could completely destroy it. And so you got to come from this place of abundance. You got to have that steward mentality like I talked about. Not the spender or the saver mentality. Even the saver mentality is destructive. You got to have a steward mentality where you're looking at magnifying and growing and improving upon things. That you're looking to take every resource you have, both physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, everything, both seen and unseen. You take every resource you have and you try to create the maximum amount of value for the people that you serve. And in so doing, not only do you create a lot more money, but you also create more financial security than anybody else. Because financial security does not come from having a lot in savings, does not come from having a ton of money or even a lot of cash flow, although that's a great help to it. But real financial security comes from knowing and coming back to the source, which is that dollars follow the value you create for other people. And as much as you're focusing your stewardship on improving and expanding it to serve people, it will continue to grow and give you the safest and surest way to creating wealth and keeping wealth. That is key. So this mindset is essential. You got to have this mindset to make everything work. And I'm telling you, like, my mindset's tripped me up. When I've let that mindset slip, when I've gone out of that, and yeah, we could talk about gratitude, which gratitude is hugely important, you know, and looking for the positive and that kind of stuff. That's good too. But it's so much more than that. So much more. It's about how we actually see the world. What's our paradigm and perspective of the world? Do we see it as a place of dog eat dog? Do you see the place of that you have to take something from somebody to be able to get something? That's a win-lose scenario rather than a win-win. If you look at the world from that way, you look at that kind of life, you will constantly be in scarcity. You will never be financially free with that kind of mindset. Doesn't matter what your bank account shows, doesn't matter what shows up on paper, you will be quietly suffering. Suffering silently while everyone else thinks that you're successful, and it doesn't work. You have to be focused on protecting your mindset, on staying in that state of abundance, constantly monitoring yourself, monitoring your words. If there's any bonus I could give on top of that, is monitor the words that you speak, because your words tell everything about you. I can tell whether you're deep in scarcity in certain respects or not. And of course, we all are. I mean, welcome to the Human Club. Nobody's going to be perfect on this. We're all screwed up in some way. But that scarcity mentality is destructive. Scarcity takes money out of your pocket. It never puts money in. Be careful of scarcity. Beware of it. Avoid it. Flip it around to that place of abundance. Flip it around to that place of stewardship. And focus on that. That has got to be key. And I know there's plenty of other episodes you can go back to hear more about that. But I think I'm just going to focus on that for right now is pay attention. Watch where the fear comes in. Because fear, when it's focused on, will bring about the very thing you fear. If you want the results you want, focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. And this is hard for people to do because so many people want to avoid things. We mostly as humans, we avoid pain. We don't seek after what we want. We seek after what we don't want. And that's okay to not want, know what we don't not want. But we also got to focus on what we do want as a result. If we don't have a clear understanding, a clear mental image of what we want, we won't get it. So mindset's key. Two is emotional intelligence. This is tied to this, but it's not the same. Emotional intelligence is how well you deal with crap in your life. Now, I've dealt with a lot of crap over the last 15, 16 years. I mean, in 2004, this is before I even hit that 2006. 2004, I went through a little low. Now, I was shocked when I had like over $5,000 credit card debt. I thought I was drowning in debt at that time. It's humorous now, but it's all perspective, right? And I remember just thinking how horrible it was. I remember going out and, that was one cold November morning. It was actually November 2004. I had quit my job, was gone full-time in my business, only to realize that that scarcity crept in. And I didn't have that emotional intelligence to deal with the scarcity. I didn't know how to flip it around. I didn't know how to manage my emotions. I'll tell you, you can logically talk your way in a mindset. Even what we just talked about, the mindset, you can logically say, yeah, I know it's this and this and this, but your emotions, they run the ship. They drive you. They're the real driver in your life. And so my emotions were taking the best of me. That scarcity was creeping in because I didn't know how to manage the emotions. I didn't know how to manage the fear and deal with it. I didn't know how to flip it around. Like my friend Kevin Clayson talks about Flip the Gratitude Switch. Great book, by the way. It's on audiobook too. Flip the Gratitude Switch. Talking about flipping it. A lot of that has to do with making that mental decision to flip things. And that emotional intelligence to be able to deal with those emotions, be able to feel them, accept them, and then let them pass rather than dwell on them. Because I remember that November, cold November, morning. It was morning because it was midnight when I set the alarm, thinking, I got to make money while people sleep. Well, I don't know how to do that normally. So why don't I just go out and make money while people sleep, which was go out to drive-thrus and start picking up change in the drive-thru parking lots. Even the ones that were stuck in tar because cars ran over them several times. It's like, hey, I was digging that out. Only to find out, after four, 3 hours, coming back at 3 a.m., counting my change, only to have $4. I would have made more money working in that drive-thru at Wendy's for 1 hour than I had spending 3 hours picking up change and dodging under that Wendy's window in shame because I was so embarrassed about where I was. And I was supposed to be a financial advisor. And that's what I was doing as a financial advisor. Those emotions, I didn't know how to control. I didn't know how to control when all of a sudden the pressure was on me to pay my mortgage. Even in flash forward, 2006, things got great, and things turned around. It's always easy to choose abundance when things are abundant. It's much harder to choose abundance when things might seem scarce, when challenges arise. That's when your real intelligence is tested. This is the stuff that's really beneath the surface is truly comes out. This is what's truly tested. And I remember it came out, again, about the end of 2007 into 2008 and 2009, when all of a sudden the housing crisis and the credit crisis started happening, my equity and all the stuff that I had started locking up. And then those fears from like that 2004 time of, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I hope I don't have to go out and work a job again where I'm, and have my car repossessed and having to pin up, where I had to pin up the upholstery on the roof so it would stop hitting me in the head thinking a spider was crawling on my head, driving an old Laser from the 80s, that kind of thing. I didn't want that to be my life again. And so that fear started overrunning my life and it started making it harder to work even in that 2008, even though I had seen great success. Still, that fear that something bad was going to happen, was horrible. And even the funny thing is I was also not even looking at reality. I didn't want to see reality. Now I saw the reality. I could see the numbers, but I was like, okay, well, there's gotta be a way out of this. There's gotta be a way. Well, eventually that way ran out, you know, and eventually the money was running out. And, you know, I ended up turning in my Mercedes. I remember turning that into the dealership. Say, here, take it. You're going to take it anyways. Take it. I ended up having to borrow a car from a friend, you know, and drove that instead. I went from a $60,000 Mercedes to a $3,000 Hyundai. You know, I had to do what I had to do to make it work. And it was rough. It was rough feeling like I was a liar and a deceiver, to feel like I was a hypocrite, someone who was teaching people to get out of the rat race, but then I was only finding myself back in it, you know? But the thing is, I also understood. I did gain some emotional intelligence, both from the challenges from before and also from the things I learned. I realized there's got to be a reason for this. There's got to be a purpose in this. And yeah, it was hard dealing with all those feelings of shame and depression and doubt, especially the self-doubt. That was the hardest thing to overcome. I stayed in that time period longer because of that emotional intelligence. I had to gain some more to deal with those kind of problems. You know, finding yourself $1 million in debt is not a light thing, especially after you were realizing that you had so much money, you weren't even worried about tracking it. Can you see why I spend so much time teaching people how to track money? It's because of that reason. It's because of those things of stewardship that I mentioned before. And so you need that emotional intelligence. You need to know how to deal with challenges when they come up, how to deal with it when they arise. And I've done a lot of great episodes on this, especially last year, towards the end of 2015 and into the beginning of 2016. Tons of great episodes that you should check out on that. I'll just say this, and I mentioned some of this before, and it ties with the mindset, but that emotional intelligence, the ability to reframe your reality, to be able to look at reality, admit what's there, but then to be able to turn around and say, what's the flip side of this? You know, what's out of the 20 negative things in my life, what's the one positive thing that I can focus on and work on that, and then work on problem solving? Because you can't problem solve when you're working out of a place of fear or desperation or urgency. Those are not the great places to problem solve. You usually create worse problems. That's where you're creating from scarcity. You got to work from a place of abundance. And so to do that, you got to have the emotional intelligence to be able to handle those emotions and say, all right, this one feeling, let's flip it around. Let's deal with this. Okay, what's positive? What's working? What's going well right now? Okay, good. Now let's look at the problem in a different light. Let's look from a place of, hey, things are okay. There's a solution. Even if I don't know what it is yet, I know that if I don't know, somebody else does, or somehow the solution will manifest itself. And I can't tell you how many times that through the grace, and I really believe this, truly the grace of God, that my life has been blessed because of Him, because of things that way. If you're not religious, that's fine. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it universe, juju, whatever. But I'll tell you that there are things at work that when you start to flip things around and you stay the course and you're persistent and you don't give up and you keep going, it's amazing how things can turn around, and not just turn around, but turn around for things that could be possibly better than you imagine. I'm telling you, I'm living that life right now that I thought that even just a few years ago, I was like, man, would that ever be my life? You know? And I'm starting to see it now even more so. And it's cool because now, as I've gotten there, it's like my vision expands more. It's like, well, what else can be possible? What else can we create? You know, what else can be better? You know, and it hasn't just been about my business, because my business, actually, I have a bigger vision for that than ever. But it's my lifestyle, how my life looks in comparison to that. How I have, you know, the time to be with family and to do that kind of stuff. Even though I've been busier this last month than ever, still, that has happened beyond even what I was kind of imagining just a few years ago. And it keeps getting better. But I'll tell you, that emotional intelligence, and I still have crap that comes up. I even have crap come up yesterday before I recorded this. You know, there's crap that came up for me that I still have to deal with. You know, I deal with scarcity. I deal with, you know, having to manage, you know, more business, you know, than I've had in years after having pretty much a semi-retired life. Now I'm kind of coming out of that semi-retirement and coming out a little bit more active again. And so to do that, you know, that definitely takes a lot of mental and emotional discipline. And this comes the last thing. This right here, this is the stuff that you don't always see me post on Facebook. You always see me talk about, but this is essential. Dealing with your emotional, spiritual, and your physical care. This is something that I've worked on over the last couple of years that has actually allowed me to hit new highs in my business that I've never attained before. And it's the stuff that you wouldn't think. It's not just persistence, although that helps. But you can be persistent in working hard and not getting the results. You could be persistently working your tail off and burning yourself out. But I had to work through things like emotional stuff. You know, I've done things where I've gone to people that are healers. You know, people like both from a physical and also emotional place. I've had so much crap. I mean, things that came from me from childhood and scarcity, things that keep coming back up. If you find yourself keep running to circles like it's a broken record, you know what? It's probably because you have emotional crap that got to be released. And there's things that you probably don't even realize that you have. I'll tell you, like, I remember the first time I went to an emotional healer, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I'm not sure about this woo-woo crap, you know? Like, but somebody, you know, I started to become friends with her. I was like, you know what? She seems decent. I'll try her. And I remember she started clearing me out from, like, different energy. And I'm a person that people don't realize. A lot of times I used to harden my heart. Like, I used to harden from other people because basically I was very empathetic. And if I get empathetic to people's situation, I get too wrapped up in it. So I have to detach myself from people rather than connect with them. That was, by the way, that created a huge issue in my relationships and everything. And so I would detach. Well, when she realized, she's like, holy crap, you've got so many people. She's like, in fact, I've never seen anybody who's had so many people's emotions still attached to you. She's like, you don't even probably know what you're feeling. You're feeling everybody else's stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I am. And when it got all cleared, I'm like, wow, there's something to this. You know, and especially when you get with the right healer and they start bringing up stuff, they're like, hey, I didn't tell you that. There's no way you can know that. This is not like, you know, psychics and things like that, where they usually just, you know, come up with vague crap, you know. But no, they would come up with real stuff and clear that. Now, it takes time. It's not like it's all done in one little session. You know, I've had to do this over the course of 5 years. I had a cough. Every time I would speak publicly, I would hack out a lung. It happened from March till May within the first year I launched Money Ripples. Couldn't figure out why. All of a sudden I found out it kind of came back up because it was the part of self-rejection. I was rejecting myself. And so because of that, physical ailments would come up. You know, things that wouldn't make sense. I'm like, I don't have any phlegm. Why am I coughing? Well, it's because I was rejecting myself. I was wondering if people were accepting me because I felt so vulnerable. I felt exposed. And that's, I'm telling you, like, it was a hard place to be able to speak and people rave about it, but then doubt myself after I got done off that stage. After I got done speaking, I would be hacking up a lung because I was wondering, was that good enough? Was I good enough? Which, by the way, is one of the biggest emotions that I've had to deal with, is about feeling like I'm enough. Even feeling like I'm of value. Isn't it funny that I focus so much on value creation, but that's the very thing that I've struggled with, is whether I'm of value to people. So how do you battle that a lot of times? How do you overcompensate? You focus on creating value to the point you serve your guts out. And you know what? And it's taken me years and I'm still working on it. So those kind of things are absolutely tremendously huge and essential for your development as a person and in your wealth. You know, I mentioned spiritual. Spiritual is all part of this too. You know, when you feel like you're worthy of blessings, when you feel like you're worth receiving blessings, it's amazing how many more you receive. I've seen many people, they have all the right tools, all the right stuff there, but they don't feel like they're worth it because there's shame, there's doubt about themselves. You know, that self-doubt is crippling. You know, that it's just like when I was playing football and, you know, I had a hard time playing sports. When I got rid of that self-doubt as an adult, it's amazing how I played sports better as an adult, even though I'm slower and not, you know, a little bit slower. I've gotten a lot better now, but still not as agile as I was as a teenager, right? But that's the thing, is that that self-doubt cripples. And so take care of your spiritual life too. Like, make sure you're aligned with your creator, however you view that, align with it. Make sure you're co-creating, not just working by yourself and struggling. Our life is not meant to be that way. You're not alone. There's plenty more out there. So make sure you're aligned spiritually. And then last, I would not say least, but it's part of it, is physical. You know, the last year I've focused on trying to reverse my age, so to speak. I mean, I can't reverse the gray hairs and the thinning hairs and that kind of thing, right? I mean, I'm grayer than most people are by the age of 40. However, I'll tell you that as I've worked hard, I started to focus like on running. You know, it came to my realization a few months ago. I didn't really train that hard, but I focus on a lot of foods that I take in. I focus a lot on my diet, you know, not just dieting, that kind of stuff, but, you know, I've been eating non-GMO, organic. I've also been eating mostly gluten-free. And I'll tell you, I've dropped 25 to 30 pounds just over the last year because of that, just because of change of diet. I exercise less, by the way. Now I started running races. I started getting faster, realizing, wait a minute, I could actually really do well. In fact, in my last race just 2 weeks ago, just 5 days before I turned 40, ran my race, and out of over 1,000 people, I placed 24th. And I keep thinking, dang, just a few more minutes, and I'll be in the top three in my age group or top three in my class, you know, that kind of thing, or even for my gender. And that's been driving me. You know, it's actually been fun. And if there's anything I would add as an extra bonus for you guys here is that find something fun that inspires you. It could be a hobby or an interest or whatever. For me, the two things in my life right now that have really helped, I mean, besides having a wonderful wife that I've married now almost a year ago today, but, you know, I'll tell you, for me, like, the new angle I've taken with some of my business has excited me because I'm learning new things. I'm developing and growing. But then also my physical life with how I've been able to do things like with the running. It's like, hey, let's try to compete, not just run, not just to stay healthy, although that's important too. I want to look like I'm in the best shape I've been in my adult life. And I also want to do well. And so now I'm using the competition as a way to drive and measure my success. And like, okay, let's keep going. Let's keep getting personal best. Keep driving myself, not even just competing against other people, because I know that that will come as I keep bettering myself and doing better myself. And so if you focus on developing not just your money, not just your business, but take care of your physical body. And by the way, I've seen somebody lose over $100 million empire and his physical health went to crap and he lost it all. Like, you, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you lose your health. You got to have that. You got to have the emotional health to go with it, because that's the stuff beneath the surface that people don't see, but it affects the outer world just as much. And people think there's some magic bullet, but guess what? If you focus on healing your body, healing your emotions, your spirit, you focus on that, and you combine that with the mindset and the emotional intelligence that I just talked about, that is where you can become unstoppable. That is stuff beneath the surface that creates greater success. And that's what I've learned by the time I'm 40, which makes me so excited for this next decade. Because you're going to see more and more, especially to observe and see what's being created out there. It's awesome. Everybody, I know it's been long, but I hope it's been valuable. Make a great, prosperous week. We'll talk to you later. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.